I think I love you.
Support for KFAI comes, in part, from The Caboose, presenting Afromatic, featuring Sam Opoku, Saturday, August 29th. Afromatic is a curated live music experience that celebrates Afrocentric artists and their fusion of contemporary genres, such as hip-hop, R&B, and pop, with African rhythms.
In addition to Ghanaian-American singer Sam Opoku, also scheduled to appear are Obi Original and the Black Atlantics, Anaka Nation, Barrister, YG Solo, and GOI.
The show is hosted by The Authentic Io. More information about Afrocentric featuring Sam Opoku is available at caboose.com.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it.
Deranged, add that multiplied by my demon. The pain's so egregious, but strategic. I came to rise up out of the flame like a phoenix. My words will reach a million or more when I tweet it. That's as many people as MLK and Jesus. And half the time, people rhymes of a genius who refuses to align with the elite. Seems Dr. King's dreams were not for the squeamish. Children of a lesser God. Oppression gets repeated unless we slide up out of the chains and delete it. America's like black and white dice tumbling. Any day you can bite the dust. Another one. So while our culture is crumbling, I will enunciate every line clearly so you can hear what the I'm saying. No mumbling it. Rise.
Claiming to be the United States, yet never in a state of unification. Egos and ignorance creates incision. Comfort in one's belief feeds division. We rap the rhythm with a bit of skepticism, leaving us jaded and traded in compassion for compression, ready to squeeze the life out of anyone who steps to us with aggression. The media runs with it, calling us aggressive, when it's just reaction to a system that's oppressive. Raised fists are claimed offensive, but when both arms and open palms are up, police issue bullets rained extensively. See? Invincible is the mood, and the outcome of this election is stewed in a melting pot cracked and no longer good for blending. And yet it's never too late for the cleansing. If we want to rise up, then put the lies up. Know the truth may show you need to size up yourself before you judge. In order to unify, someone's gotta budge. And to the choir, don't preach and discard the peace. So instead, those trapped in ignorance can be reached. The outcome from this is a high consciousness instead of a fist pushed to the sky.
All right, what's up, Twin Cities? Welcome back. Another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. I am JSE, the Navigator, joined in studio this week by L Boogie. L Boogie is in the building. What's up, L Boog?
Hey, I'm here. What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing. It's Monday.
It is.
It's Monday. I'm doing my Monday.
It's
busy, 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 busy.
A lot happening, trying to get stuff together.
Every Monday.
Last Monday, we did the preview show for the primary in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things happened. I think some folks broke up. Some folks might have broke up.
We didn't, but others might have.
I think some campaigns that were working real hard, they broke up now. Maybe they're going and getting it in with other campaigns. Sunglasses on,
hat low. What up? I'm here to knock doors.
What's up? What you need? I picked wrong. The primary election is to determine from a larger group of candidates who will be representing their party for certain key races. And we had a couple real big ones that went down. Top of the list for U.S. Senate, our girl got through. Congratulations, Peggy Flanagan.
Yes. Is it she who speaks with a loud voice?
In Ojibwe, she who speaks with a loud voice has been heard. The Manitou have heard. The people have heard. And those who came with all the money, I think they spent $20 million on the other side. The Craig campaign, Angie Craig campaign, $20 million. $20 million got you a 20% deficit. We want to talk about that. Waste of money in political campaigns. You know, again, everyone, you know, we don't all like the same people. We all don't drink. Some people drink Pepsi. Other people drink Coke, right?
Some folks drink Shasta.
I'd rather have like RC, like remember the old school cola. I mean,
grandpa drank RC cola.
The whole point is that they're... our opportunities, you talked about this leading up to the primary. Hey, you may not find what you want in a particular candidate. There are various candidates are on the ballot. We talked about the Vikings fans that were on the ballot for Governor Ole Saver and his running mate. We want to talk about what happened in that particular race. Same thing holds true for other candidates. It was a very competitive race for county attorney. Friend of ours was successful, who had been the endorsed candidate. Actually, I believe all of the endorsed candidates for constitutional officers and the upper echelon candidates or those particular offices. When I say upper echelon, I'm talking about, you know, kind of in order of influence. So U.S. Senate, U.S. Congress, House of Representatives, gubernatorial race, attorney general, secretary of state, state auditor, you know, you kind of go down from there. But anyway, the endorsement process works. Definitely on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, the GOP side, we saw, probably the most watched, paid attention to race was that for governor, where you had Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, Lisa Damu, Speaker of the House, and your guy from Medtronic, Kendall Qualls. Why do I want to call him? You worked at Medtronic.
For a brief time while he was there, yes.
Your home. Anyway.
I mean, I wasn't there brief. I was overlapping with him briefly.
Well, what happened was he didn't win.
Mike
Lindell didn't win. Lisa Damuth won. So one of the things that has been revealed is that these two offices on the top of the ticket there's going to be some history, potentially in the U.S. Senate race, potentially, where you have Peggy Flanagan, who's running, could become the first woman to serve in the U.S. Senate, first Native woman. In the race for governor, there's never been a woman who's been governor in the state of Minnesota. One of those two candidates, either...
Well, hold on, though. Mr. Pillow Guy is contesting.
Yeah, anyway, that's not going to come of that. He's full of feathers and down, right? And who knows if he was even eligible to vote in the state. One of Trump's cronies has now been eliminated, which I think says a lot about Minnesota politics, and that is folks are very pragmatic. They take their politics very seriously in this state. That's why we've had the likes of Hubert Humphrey and Ted Mondale and even, you know, Jesse Ventura and others, right, that have been elected officers. And so the pillow guy scheme did not pan out. I'm sure he's going to try to make some money to recover from all the other dollars that he's lost
for
defamation of character, because he'd be talking stuff like he's Trump. Only Trump can get away with that crap.
No, he's talking stuff about elections being fraudulent.
And that, yep, he does talk about that. He's one of the election deniers. But more importantly,
he's a distractor.
More importantly, he is not in the race anymore. So there's that.
Hey, that's a lot of votes, Mr. Lindell, to try to find. That's a lot of votes in a state that gets like secondhand embarrassment when they lie, because, you know, that.
Well, here's
that
a state.
Passive aggressive.
Yeah, here's what happens.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean.
I know it wasn't coming out clearly. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that, you know, in talking to, I think we had Secretary of State Simon on our show, and he pointed to the minuscule percentage of contested or verified voter fraud in the state of Minnesota, which is 0.0000, whatever it is. It is a number that's not even making it on, you know, on a baseline where folks can complain. So in a state, which should tell you some things, in a state that has arguably the best voter turnout on a regular basis, we have very few problems, if any, when it comes to voter fraud or things out of the norm that may happen. Now, I know that some votes disappeared over in Shakopee in a race a couple years ago that ended up going to court. I don't know if they ever found the boxes. So things do happen, right? But these are elections, of course, that are decided by, you know, 20, 30 votes. So,
well,
at any rate.
Okay. Whew, take a breath. That was a lot. Okay. That was a lot to break down right there. Where'd that come from?
You
had nothing to say on the right here. I had to antagonize you, disrupt what? Your internal dialogue of whatever your mind was, probably on golf, and say, what is it that I can build off of? I was not in there. I was a whole lot.
Like, why were you holding out if you had that kind of intel?
Just come forward with that.
Oh, I didn't, you know, I'll just be spitting sometimes off the top, you know.
Well,
like
knock
a,
it off.
Like a good freestyle. I wish I could freestyle, you know, in hip hop the way I could freestyle sometimes on the show. I want to give a shout out. The first track we played was to give shots out, birthday shots out today to Kelvin Mercer, a.k.a. Pasta News, a.k.a. Plug One, sometimes called just Pos. And he is one third of, you know, one of the most impactful hip hop groups in the history of the art form, De La Soul. And he is celebrating a birthday today, so I thought I would play some of his music. I'll also be playing a little bit of music from Nipsey Hussle, rest in peace. Heavenly birthday celebration for him a couple days ago.
Got any salt and pepper in there?
No salt and pepper. Sprinkle. A little seasoning, no salt and pepper.
Little push it?
Nope, I mean, I can look that
up.
Is
that hip-hop?
That is hip hop, you
I
know.
Figured.
Salt and pepper, Peppa, P-E-P-A. Their producer was Herbie Lovebug.
Yes,
that was the name of their producer. He was all up in their videos. Salt and pepper. I remember seeing them back in the day in the D.C. area.
I won a beer pong game, doing a dance off to that song at a bar up north. Me and my best friend Lisa.
Okay.
And we chose Push It, and we did our old routine that we used to do at the dances at high school.
Do you remember the lyrics?
I do.
All right, let me hear you. I'll find an instrumental.
You know I cannot.
I'm gonna find an instrumental for you.
You know, that is not my strength.
What?
Do you remember when I told you that there was only like one or two people that did not pass the test to make it into choir?
Uh-huh.
I was one of them. Yeah.
Really?
I did watercolors instead.
But it's rap, so that's not, you know.
You're not putting me on the spot.
I'm not trying to. I'm just asking if you got.
And I said no.
Bars.
I don't.
Have bars?
I don't have any.
You don't?
I have chocolate bars.
Really?
Chocolate bars hidden from
really?
Your sight.
Okay. All right. One, two, three.
Go ahead.
Here's your opportunity.
No, I did not agree. I did not agree. I said I could dance. I did not say I could sing or I could rap.
Salt and pepper here.
Okay, go ahead.
Salt and pepper here.
Push it. There's an edit.
Push it.
Ow!
Ooh. Push it. All right.
You need to come with more of that.
So
you need to have a little bit more back in that one.
Elbow does not have.
I'm not doing.
Push it,
no.
But she did say she has some moves for that back in the day.
Try to put me on the spot.
I was just seeing where you were at, you know. Just
my grandpa called us sisu
show.
For a reason. That's stubborn. I'm sitting right here and I watch you.
you what he called you?
We called Mel that, but he calls us all infinite. It's sisu.
Sisu.
Bullhead or stubborn one.
I see. Was that Finnish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, back to the primary.
I'm not bringing up a song again.
No, that's all right. The primary record turnout for the primary.
Did we hit a million?
Over a million votes were cast in this year's primary here in Minnesota.
Way to go, Minnesota.
What do you think the new number? So, we talked about what primary voter turnout percentage is normally. What do you think the percentage was of turnout? Do you remember what we talked about before? 20%. 20% of people normally turn out in the primary. We eclipsed that. We had a million voters. Do you know what percentage it was? Compared to the 20%.
No, see, this is where
25%. Brett might have known the answer to that. You're right. He is the Don Data.
We're missing the data.
We are missing the data, dude.
Shout out to
B. Buckner. Prayers. Take care, Jackie. We got you. We're saying in prayers for you. 25%. So
25% showed up.
1 million. That 1 million number equated to 25% of registered voters. So that gives you an idea of how many voters are eligible or registered to vote in the state. And so a percentage of that number. It's interesting. The devil is always in the details. One of the things that was pointed out that concerning for some, I don't know, you know, it's early when you don't have the level of contested race in one particular category. It does not necessarily mean that when it comes to the general election, that those numbers will be the same. So Amy Klobuchar did not get similar numbers to Peggy Flanagan. There are some folks who are considered more moderates who kind of take that as a cautionary sign. And but I would say clearly the Angie Craig Flanagan race drew out the most voters. Probably because of all of the attack ads. It was the highest profile race. Klobuchar's race was very much so under the radar, came out as the victor. I think there were more votes cast on the Republican side because that was a contested race. People pay more attention when it's a contested race. So it's hard to it's like you can't compare apples and oranges. But, you know, some interesting developments we talked about, meaning you and I on our way over, we talked about what has happened in the country in the response of the ultra-conservative movement that's happening with the Trump administration. We've seen, you know, some progressive or ultra-progressive candidates that have shown up to run for office in some places. Some have been successful, some have not. In Michigan, or was it Wisconsin, long time, more Wisconsin. Establishment centered candidate defeated a progressive candidate. Here in Minnesota, some folks would characterize Peggy Flanagan as the progressive candidate versus Angie Craig. I think that is accurate, but there are different levels of progressive and there's different levels of leftist ideology, right? I think we should talk a little bit about that this evening as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Down with that.
Okay.
Like now, or do you want to take a break?
No. We could take a break. That's a good idea. Thank you. Should we listen to some more music?
Yes. But I'm not saying what it
every
is.
Every time.
I'm not saying what it is.
Every time I ask that question, the answer is always yes. All right?
I've learned that.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, KFAI.org on the net, Fresh Air Community Radio. We'll be right back, y'all.
Just a little bit,
Jane.
Just a little bit,
De La.
Just a little
come
bit.
Come on.
I'll never give you up. No, I'll never stop. Keep it coming. Keep on coming for more. I'll never give you
never.
Up. No, I'll never stop.
Stop, baby.
Keep it coming. Keep on coming for more.
It's that brown man from Long Island and Shores. Got away with women, so I get away with yours. Because your whole game's outdated. Well, leaves all the pretty women heavily sedated.
Mommy, you could play Ripley's, so believe it or not. I shoot gifts like Heron with skills of Gil Scott. Nights like Celeste Lock could get heated. Prescribing your vibe, love, I know how you need it. To find a couple of dimes, but at a government rate. Can't settle for no nickels, even pennies for thought. For short, I need connections with big bank selections. Securing all the sections with sinks and corrections. See the like nature, escaping like gas. Tell me how long this love is gonna last. Thinking fast might spoil something, turn a whole week to nothing. Extra to your lady, you're special. Seen a bigger picture on the screen, but you're a movie. You're moving, you soothe me like holidays, getaways. The brochure said do it, so true. It's not a whole hand mission, cut the public display. Heard you headed for the stars, put the gazes away.
Programming at KFAI is supported in part by the Dakota, presenting the Devin Almond Project, Sunday, August 23rd.
Devin Almond celebrates 20 years since the release of his first album with this very special to-date retrospective of his career.
He'll pull songs from each of his musical projects, including Honey Tribe, the Almond Betts Band, Blues Summit, Royal Southern Brotherhood, as well as songs from the Almond Brothers catalog.
Opening the show, our special guest, GA20. More information about the Devin Allman Project live at the Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
A movement. We are are the inventors, sons of the prodigal. Bigger than just check 1-2 in it. Some slip away from your view. We stay stuck in your face inside follicles. And like meat in a fungo, we stuffed in the jungle. Dog eat dog with no veg. We in the know without a ledge. Stood for a flag with no pledge. We were supposed to solve life puzzles, but wouldn't even try. Went from highly evolved to just being high. Practice moderation. Get your mind off of the couch. Work boots on. Horse man here to vouch. A lot of brooms are needed to clean up the ways of a world repeated, trapped in a maze. We need to try to get past games. Do it for those with your face and your last name.
We don't have too much time in this life. Can't rewind.
What we got?
Yeah, baby, got work to do. Yeah, baby, got work to do. Spin to the bone. Feel it down to your bones.
Feel it, y'all. What we got?
Yeah, baby, got work to do. Yeah, baby, got work to do.
Work.
We up all night till
work.
The work is done by
Provide.
Yeah, baby, got work to do. Baby, got work to do.
Work. I said we
up all night
till
I decide.
Work.
The work is done.
Work.
Provide.
All right, Twin Cities, welcome back. Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. Birthday shout-outs to Pastanus, a.k.a. Plug One of the legendary De La Soul. Celebrated birthday today. Four women at the top of the ticket here in Minnesota. Peggy Flanagan versus Michelle Tafoya. Amy Klobuchar versus Lisa DeMuth. You know
what? Let's go, ladies.
You know what I'd really like to see?
What's that?
Remember how MTV used to do like them little claymation, like
wrestling matches?
Wrestling matches. I would love to see.
Peggy would take Michelle.
I think so.
And Amy will take Lisa. Well, Lisa's. Yeah, no, you know, I'm gonna put it on Lisa.
Can you see it? Can you see it depicted? Would they be a tag team? That would be interesting, right? It'd be a tag team cage match. Klobuchar and Peggy versus DeMuth and
my money's still on Peggy
Michelle and Tafoya. It would be very entertaining.
Peggy and Amy.
Celebrity death match.
Because Lisa would have to carry the weight for Michelle Tafoya, I think. Mm.
I don't know. You might be surprised.
She's
been hanging out with all them
True.
Football players for years.
True.
Does not mean she could play football or even block very well. But who knows? We don't. And I think that is the most interesting thing about Michelle Tafoya, who's never run for any office. Never, is my understanding, never been elected to anything. We don't know one iota about Michelle Tafoya.
No.
And I think that is interesting and problematic for Michelle Tafoya. Because, I mean, now granted, some folks will say, well, hey, she's got a clean record. Well, you have no record, you know? So how would you have dealt with the pandemic? How would you have dealt with Operation Metro Search? How would you have dealt with? I mean, these are just questions.
I'm going to stop you though.
Yeah.
Because those are past. Anybody can say, well, I would have done this in the past. The more important question is, how will you manage ICE? How will you, in our state, how will you, you know, do XYZ? Forward thinking questions, because that forces her to come up with solutions that are not determined yet.
I agree, but I do like the fact that a couple of these candidates, and I'll give Lisa DeMuth her cred, you know, as she's led at the legislature, you know, in a very complicated environment, most closely divided legislature in the country, one vote, tied in the body that she is the Speaker of the House. She did. She wasn't in that leadership role during the pandemic. So you have a couple folks who are on the ticket who have immense experience. They have been involved. They have been in the trenches. They have made Klobuchar was there in the Capitol when there was the January 6th.
Right, right. So was Angie Craig, though. Wasn't she?
She don't matter anymore. I'm just talking about these four ladies here.
I was going to make a point. But it's all right. It don't matter no more. Okay.
But you said it. Again, experience clearly very heavy on one side versus lack thereof. But, you know, capable. Apparently these folks have been uplifted by their party to represent the party in this election cycle coming up in November. I think what's interesting is, you know, remember that one of these things doesn't belong here. One of these things isn't the same. It was like Sesame Street. And then what was the other one? Electric Company. Remember they used to have those little jingle type deals. Of these three, of these four candidates, one candidate clearly is the least experienced. And that would be Michelle Tafoya.
Yeah.
Like no political experience, no city council run, no school board run. Plucked out probably because of name recognition, because, you know, she's been a sports broadcaster. So anyway, this is the what's facing Minnesotans, the decision to determine which one of these or two of these four ladies are going to lead both the governor's office at the state or in the U.S. Senate to replace Tina Smith. And
so Michelle Tafoya is 5'9".
Okay.
So fun facts. Her husband is Mark Vandersall, a Minnesota native. He played baseball at the University of Minnesota and went to Armstrong High in Plymouth.
Okay. All right.
And guess what?
What?
They met when she was working at KFAN.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep, yep. And they have a daughter adopted from Colombia.
Okay. All right.
They have a son, I mean, and a daughter. Have a son, Tyler, and a daughter, Olivia, who was adopted from Colombia.
Okay.
And then finally, she was a sports broadcaster, but also she was looking forward to Minnesota being in the spotlight during the Super Bowl. They listed that as a fact about her that we should know.
Okay, nothing in that description of Michelle Tafoya speaks like experience enough to be a U.S. senator, right? Amy Klobuchar was the county attorney, Hennepin County attorney, and stepped into that role, right? Peggy Flanagan has been a school board member, a legislator,
nonprofit executive,
a lieutenant governor, right? Executive director of the Children's Defense Fund. Clearly a lot more experience in the public policy making arena. So we will see how voters in November. Just a little bit of factoids, a little bit of background on the top tier candidates.
Well, Well, in fairness to Michelle Tafoya, she's running on Stop the Fraud. That's her one of her key issues.
Can I say something? Everybody who got GOP stamped on their, you know, when they filed their certification for, they all have.
Yeah, she wants to make state leaders do their job.
Isn't she running for the U.S. Senate?
Uh-huh. Okay. And any immigrant who is a guest in our country and gets convicted of fraud must be deported. That's what she's running on. And stop treating fraud as a second-class crime. I don't know what that means, but that's what she's saying. And then law and order.
She didn't get the Trump endorsement because, you know, the fraud component, like 34 counts. Anyway,
alleged.
Go ahead.
That is true.
He was convicted of those things.
Secondly, she's running on law and order with bullet points of standing with law enforcement.
Okay.
Restore Minnesota's common sense, tough on crime. So she's going after public safety, basically. And then third, cut costs and taxes for the middle class. So protect the working family tax cut, real solutions for health care. I'm not really sure what that means. she just, it just says, trying to hand our healthcare decisions to faceless government bureaucrats. Okay. Well, you know, some of those faceless bureaucrats in our Minnesota state government have been very helpful when I was unemployed. So I want to do a shout out to them for helping me navigate. And ironically, my sister is trying to navigate the healthcare right now and is getting help from those faceless government bureaucrats. But so that, and then, yeah. So you know what I was, oh, hi. What I was really curious about though was, that's a lot of money to put into a campaign that Angie Craig did. And it wasn't all from the, you know, Democrats, DFL, and people in support of her. It was coming from a lot of different places. But I just wonder, I just...
Apparently Crypto, Polymart, and Kalshi, the predictive market entities, were very heavily, or heavy contributors on that
what?
Campaign. Yep, yep. Just... FYI, it's what I was told, what I heard from a lot of folks, not just,
I just, you know, think about that money, that amount of money, and how much that rerouted could be helping people in need through donations to nonprofits and foundations.
Money.
Yeah. I mean, it's, was it an ROI? No. They didn't get an ROI on that investment.
Not with a 20-point loss.
No.
I mean, 59 to 39%. We don't want to beat the drum on that, but clearly something is wrong in, you know, I mean, if that many I started seeing and hearing Angie Craig commercials several months ago, and there was just a continuous stream of them, and... yeah, I mean, so for the folks, I have some friends. You have friends that were Craig supporters, and you know, my statement to them is like, okay, well, let's all get busy and work to elect folks that we're aligned with, and you know, lick your wounds. Sometimes, you know, it can be really personal. Like, we've been involved where we've supported people and then they didn't win, and you know, that can be tough. But you got to get back on the horse and get back in the mix. And if you, this is both a shout out to anyone and everyone who was involved in this primary, supporting the various candidates, a lot of talented people running for office. Now it is your charge to go and find a place in some of these other campaigns. Use that volunteerism, use that anger that has come out as we are facing tyranny and an authoritarian regime, which is the real threat here to our democracy. Use that energy to continue to press forward and stay the course so that we can change the direction and regain control of democracy.
Oh. Sorry.
Damn. What you doing over there?
I told you, I don't have good depth perception. I don't have not good awareness of myself.
I'm going to get you a different mic apparatus, but you keep blowing that one up.
You were saying such important things. I was so in tune.
You were captivated.
That I didn't realize how close I was to the mic.
That was like your whole head. It wasn't even
Look at my ear. It unbalanced my headset.
Okay. All right. So we have let's see. Anything else? I mean, shout out to our man, Cedric Frazier.
Yes.
Said good work, Ced.
How?
Another historic. Cedric Frazier will be, I believe, the first African-American to serve as county attorney in Minnesota. County attorney in Hennepin County for sure. I don't know if there has been another African-American county attorney in the state. He may be the first to do that. Good dude. Good dude.
Yeah,
excited for Cedric. Excited for others as we navigate to the general.
I think he would beat Anders Falk in a claymation wrestling match.
I'm putting my money on Sid. He was a football player. He got that grit. He's from the South Side. I don't even know where Andrew Falk is from. Yeah, South Side of Chicago. He told us some stories when he was up in here.
Yeah, that's where my money's at.
I'm with you. We should play with that. I would also love to see, I'd love to put together this meme for my good friend Rich Ginsburg. Who knows if he's listening today? We got to get Rich on the show.
Yeah.
He's been asking to come on the show for some time.
Oh,
but I'd love to see a meme with like Angie's face and then Peggy's face, like with some WWF or like, I don't even know if they call it WWF anymore, WWE or.
There's a couple different
or
versions.
Or some MMA. And yeah, that would be. And you can just see the beat down, 20 point. That 20 point victory in a race that was supposed to be close.
Yeah.
Most of us thought this race was going to be incredibly close, but it was a straight shellacking. Whatever was,
yeah.
Whatever the messaging was, don't use that messaging. Other Democrats out there, you know, be careful.
So,
be
so,
careful how you characterize yourself if you don't have the support of the people,
well,
the majority of the people.
Don't support ICE. That was a big part of it.
I think that was a big part. I'm with you. I think the effort, I think what was more damaging, and we talked about this months ago, was more damaging is to have done that. It is a tough position for lawmakers at the federal level, state level, other when you're in a crisis, right? To make a decision where you have a omnibus bill that has all kinds of things in it that are important, and you're caught in the moment, and you know you're convinced by, you know, one or two folks, and then you make a bad vote. And there are a lot of, I mean, the funny thing about it is, like, a lot of times people get blamed for certain votes, but that is a hyper focus on, there could be 20 other things, I'll just say this, there could be 20 other things in the bill that has the provision that people are being scrutinized on that were way more important than that little provision. But you will
right.
die on the Hill, or you will be characterized as, you know, in a very demeaning fashion if you took that vote. And for Angie, that was the poison pill. And I think what was most troubling is this attempt to try to characterize it differently, like to try to suggest or try to show up and be on the front line and then characterize yourself as being on the front line when you really weren't on the front line before. I think that lack of authenticity for the people around her, you know, that wasn't a good strategy. Like, maybe you could have taken a different strategy instead of trying to do what they call revisionist history. Like you were right there, you know, in the fight and in the battle. And me and you, we would not say we were in that fight or in that battle. We were very much so impacted with what happened in Minneapolis. You were a little more in the battle than I was.
Wait a minute here.
But we would be perpetrating a fraud if we said that we were on the front lines. We have friends, we have colleagues, we have relatives who were right there, right? They were potentially impacted by tear gas or other things. Like, we were a step removed, even though we were greatly impacted by it because we live, you know, less than a mile.
Okay.
Agreed?
Okay.
Agreed. So anyway, I'm sharing this because I think one of the flaws in the Craig campaign messaging is this way to kind of try to massage and misrepresent your involvement. Right, I think that happened,
okay.
Or
you're
at least
talking a long time.
Yeah, you can.
I'm going to interrupt you now.
You can have the mic. Go get.
Okay, thank you. You know, is this? It was just a weird shift in campaign strategy. It didn't feel natural, and it was like, oh, you're talking about. Oh, wait, what?
It lacked authenticity.
It wasn't an easy transition. You didn't bring the voter along that journey with you in your campaign material until you had to. And so that's when it felt weird. And, you know, as a lesbian woman, I supported her She's a lesbian woman and married, and was deep, you know, big supporter of healthcare. And these were my values, and I supported her in the past. But I just had that hair of more progressive aligned better with Peggy now. And the other accomplishments, because Peggy also believes in those things and more. She had more to offer that Angie unfortunately was caught during an administration where her style of politics wasn't for most of the state during the primaries, and therefore she didn't win.
And I think there's even more to that, and that is that Peggy has had more experience. Even though she wasn't a member of Congress, she had been a legislator, she had been the lieutenant governor during the pandemic, she had run for multiple offices successfully, and so she had built a much more robust understanding of politics in Minnesota, right, from a variety of perspectives, as a Native woman, as a mother, as a progressive, you know. So at any rate, I mean, interesting how the outcome
so
impacts how we move forward.
Yeah. I think it's time for a music break.
Okay. All right. Normally you don't ask for a music break.
But I'm not asking. Okay. I'm saying that it's time for a music break. And we are going to play some more. We're going to probably play Nipsey Hussle, let me guess.
Did you say, hey, bruh, stop talking, stop hogging the mic. It's time for a music break. Thank y'all for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy over here on KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, KFAI.org on the net, Radio Without Boundaries. We'll be right back, y'all.
Making this dedication. This is anti-hesitation. This is real digging celebration. This is a dime block declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla wafers. This the remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue pill in the open matrix. Red rose in the gray pavement. Young black digging trapped and he can't change it. Know he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platforms to explain it. He frustrated, so he get faded. But deep down inside, he know you can't fail. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real work and reparations. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. To some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication. Spent my whole life thinking out the box. Boxing homies 3-on-1, got DP, but I ain't dropped. Chirp on me, here I come. Spin around the block, they broke on me. Said I ran a stop sign, but that's a lie. I spent my whole life staring at the stage, playing Sega Daddy, smoking shirt.
Support for KFAI comes in part from First Avenue, presenting Trish Toledo at the Turf Club, Thursday, August 27th. Trish Toledo is a young artist with an old-school sound, a musical time traveler who reinvents early 60s pop and soul ballads with modern fire and fortitude.
Exploring classic catalogs, Trish selects songs based on how the themes most faithfully mirror on her own life experiences. Opening the show is Rudy Dionda.
More information about Trish Toledo at the Turf Club is available at first-avenue.com.
Pull up in motorcades. I got a show today. It's all I'm trying to do. Hustle and motivate. Choppers to throw away. Hustle the overweight. That's why they follow me, huh? They think I know the way. Cause I took control of things. Ballin' the solo way. And if you pattern my trend, I make you my protege. Crossing that soldier race. You don't know them days. Take you in back of the buildings.
make you expose your rage, take you across the tracks, make you explode a face. Now you a fisher now, but you got a soul to save. I just been cooking that new, I'm about to drop in a few. Think if I call it the great, the people gon' call it the truth. I ain't really trip on the credit, I just paid all of my dues. I just respected the game, now my name all in the news. Trippin' on all of my moves, quote me on this, got a lot more to prove. Remember I came in this shit, fresh out the county with nothing
don't
to lose.
Do this or nothing. No. When I count on you, but I don't do it for sure, nothing. No, 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 not at all. You, my money ring, money ring. That you do.
One of my favorite tracks. Shout out and rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle, taken from us way too soon. Nipsey Hussle, born Emias Yosef Ajigdom, born in Los Angeles, August 15th, 1985, just a youngster. Atreian, East African brother who was involved, spoke very publicly about his involvement in the gang culture in L.A. Many folks compared Nipsey Hussle, both his look, his braids, his vibe, to like a young Snoop. You know, Nipsey, of course, came a generation after, rose to success, including Grammy Award winning efforts, and then some knucklehead took the man's life March 31st, 2019. It's already 2019. It's already 7 years ago now.
Wow.
And that was very sad. A lot of folks were disheartened. I did not. I admittedly did not know that much about Nipsey Hussle before his death, but after having a chance to dig in the crates and get a feel for who he was as a musician and as a lyricist, I have great admiration for his talent and also for the journey that he was on. You know, having come up in the streets of L.A. In that criminal element, for him to transcend and to begin to make moves and build community and give back to community, was very, very sad. What happened to Nipsey? I think folks are still struggling with that right now.
Yeah, he's also known. He didn't call himself aligned traditionally as a politician, but more radical and tied more to community local economic activism is what he believed in, community-based activism, public policy visions, and all that should be from that community's representation and perspective. But he also had a prominent protest anthem, FDT. F. Donald.
Yeah.
And it at a time that American politics were listening for it. So anyway, he's done some interesting stuff.
He did.
And he was hugely talented. And I wish we could have had a lot more of him, because I think he could have been a good voice for a lot of folks out there that don't find their own voice within the political party. And I don't blame him. I mean, it's not the funnest thing to listen to C-SPAN or to hear the same messages, it feels like, over and over from political campaigns, or having strangers knocking on your door and your favorite TV show interrupted by a campaign ad that you didn't want to watch, and mm-hmm. a phone call or your daily mm-hmm. texts to sure. donate. I mean, mm-hmm. people, it gets to a point where people are going to reject that. They didn't, but we'll have to get into this conversation another time. But it's, I believe we've hit quite possibly maybe a, what Malcolm Gladwell calls tipping point, but a political tipping point where the economic and the social context of our country and our state and our cities has shifted, and thus we've shifted as voters. And that it happens in history. It does happen in history. But, you know, I share that because I'm cautiously optimistic about what the midterms will be and hopeful.
Yes. I mean,
that
clearly,
we can balance. If anything, we can balance the full swing to one side in our politics at a national level right now, and then bringing in a different politicians in midterm, that it can at least balance it a little bit, shift it. That, clearly, I mean, that's
if Minnesota is
minimum.
If Minnesota's indication of what, you know, they usually characterize the midterm elections is when the pendulum swings back away from the party that's in control. And so here in Minnesota, you see a response. Now, granted, we had the ICE occupation, Metro Surge. That led, of course, to a lot of the energy, along with, you know, the authoritarian regime that we've been dealing with, and things like, you know, invasions of Venezuela and Iran without going through the proper channel. So we're at a point where the response should be a political response or electoral response. But Minnesota turned out, and I think it something to the tune of 65% of that 1 million voters, 65% of those were Democrats. So clearly there has been an uptick of importance and effort to get out and express oneself exercise that very important right to try to change the political landscape.
There's been four elections where major political realignment happened when there was a full tipping point shift.
All right.
1932, the Great Depression, which shattered trust in Herbert Hoover, and the voters brought Franklin D. Roosevelt.
FDR?
And his New Deal. Democratic majority.
Which was really social programming that still exists to today. Which includes, I think, the Social Security was established under FDR.
1964, Lyndon B. Johnson after JFK, which paved the way for civil rights and Great Society legislation. 1980 election, Jimmy Carter took a hit, and they brought Ronald Reagan in. Now, that was a wartime issue.
It was interesting. It was a war, but it was really the rise of terrorism.
Yeah.
Beirut, you had that situation. And it was, I think, more of a geopolitical dynamics that were causing the United States to have to step in or be strong, as opposed to negotiating with terrorists. I think that's where that terminology, we don't negotiate with terrorists, came out.
Yeah. The same thing is, I mean, here's a guy that devoted his life to Habitat for Humanity. I think people would love a president who did that nowadays. Mm-hmm. His passion was for providing homes for people. But yes. I'll end it with this. 2008 election, a severe housing and financial crash in the U.S. Voters elected Barack Obama and gave Democrats majority again in Congress. So three reasons, and then I'll be quiet. We can close it out. Why voters shift power.
Okay.
Economy problems, job losses, high prices.
Okay.
Number two, war and conflict. All long or unpopular war.
Okay.
And that drains the public trust in leadership. And finally, number three, social change. Rapid shifts in our social experience that face fierce political backlash.
You said usually one of those three things.
Yeah.
So now we're in a situation where all of those three things are our reality.
Depending on who you believe.
Yes.
So there we go, folks. Let's move towards those midterms and... Let's see what we can do.
Well, more to come. We about to get up out of here, y'all. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. We'll be back next week. We out. Enjoy this Nipsey Hussle cut as we getting up out of here, y'all.
Health Notes is up next.
Had to pray to Almighty God, they let my dog out the kennel. When you get it straight up out the mud, you can't imagine it. I've been pulling up in the drop tops with the baddest. Young, been focused on my check. Mm-hmm. Got a new coupe wrapped around my neck. Mm-hmm. Trying to put the water on my potato. Mm-hmm. I got killers to the left of me. Mm-hmm.
Where's lurking on her? Ain't show no mercy on her. We was going back to back, we put a curfew on her. It was dark clouds on us, but that was perfect for us. We know you always crash and burn, but it was working for us. Lemon tint to V12.
You're listening to 90.3 KFAI FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Online and archived at kfai.org.